Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
The climb that Abraham went that day with his son, his only son, the son whom you love. I want you to sacrifice. I believe that was a longer climb. It's actually the second, because there would be another father and son who would climb another hill years later. Many Bible scholars believe it's the exact same hill. They believe Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. Because when Father says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, one translation says, take your son, your only begotten son.
Imagine for a second you're in Abraham's shoes when God commands him to sacrifice his only son. This is a son that God promised Abraham and the son that was miraculously conceived, and now God's telling Abraham to sacrifice him? Today, Pastor Michael will be explaining how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son in faith, knowing that God would somehow come through. Whether God was going to provide a different sacrifice or raise his son from the dead, Abraham had faith, God was good. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 22 as he begins his message, Test Prep.
I want to talk about a different way of preparing for a test. We were studying for a test, and I believe that if you call yourself a Christian, there's going to be tests and trials that come our way. Matter of fact, Jesus told us to expect that, right? That in this world, you're going to have trials. And those are happening. But here's the whole message. I am so grateful to a faithful God who, regardless of the test that you and I have to go through, he is always faithful to prepare us for those tests. Amen? You with me? He's so good at that. And that's what I see in this chapter. This chapter is got a story that is very famous. People that don't even love Jesus, who don't give a rip about God and the Bible, they know this story. Like, this story is famous. The one where God asked him to take his son up to the mountain and sacrifice him, right? But then at the last minute, right, as Abraham's going to be obedient, the angel stops him, remember? And he doesn't make him do it. But this is a huge test for Abe. Amen? And so, what I want to talk about today is how God prepares us for these things. So we're just going to read three verses in chapter 22. It says this: after these things, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and he took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split the wood for a burnt offering and he set out to go to the place that God had told him about. On May 29th, 1953, the BBC released an announcement that for the very first time ever, someone had successfully climbed Mount Everest. The guy's name was Sir Edmund Hillary. And maybe you've heard of his, there he is, attractive guy. He climbed that thing. Apparently, he's the first one that we have recorded that did that. So here he was. He had a small team and everything, and it was an incredible announcement. The BBC says these exact words: no man has or ever will climb higher than Sir Edmund Hillary. Now, that didn't turn out to be true. Many, many people have climbed Mount Everest since then, but it was a huge deal. I'm going to suggest to you today that the climb that's in our text, where Abraham and Isaac climbed Mount Moriah, is significantly higher than even Sir Edmund Hillary's climb. Now, it's funny because Mount Moriah, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, Mount Moriah is really, it's actually technically called a ridge. It's only a couple hundred feet above the city of Jerusalem. It's not exactly a mountain. I remember when I got there and I heard about Mount Zion and all these different things, I was like expecting like this, like around here, Telluride. And I got there and there's like these little teeny hills, you know. I'm from, you know, Missouri and Kansas, where, you know, that was a mountain, this little teeny hill thing, right? And that's sort of what it is there in that area. But I'm telling you, I believe the climb that Abraham went that day with his son, his only son, the son whom you love, I want you to sacrifice. I believe that was a longer climb It's actually the second, because there would be another father and son who would climb another hill years later. Many Bible scholars believe it's the exact same hill. They believe Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. Because when Father says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, one translation says, take your son, your only begotten son. Does that sound familiar? This whole thing is a beautiful picture. We're going to get into that later. But just for today, put yourself in Abraham's Birkenstocks. Imagine what it must be like to have God Almighty tell you, I want you to take your son and sacrifice your son. The son that's been promised to you, the son that you're so proud of, the son that you see so much potential in, the son that's gonna be the father of nations like the stars in the sky. I want you to take that son and I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering to me. Imagine what that must have been like for this daddy. And yet we read that Abraham gets up early in the morning and does it. There's no arguing. He just gets up early. Let's do this thing. Let's go. And it's like a three-day, we'll get into that later. It's like a three-day walk to get to where he was, to Mount Moriah. He gets right up and obeys. Now, I just got to be honest with you. I read this story and I'm like, nah, nope, couldn't do it. I could not do that. Good for Abraham. Good for Abe. You know, the father of the faith. He obviously had a lot of faith, but I don't think that I could do what he did here. How exactly did he do it? I'm going to suggest to you the reason Abraham could climb this mountain is the same reason that Sir Edmund Hillary could climb the mountain, and that is preparation. Sir Edmund Hillary prepared himself for 5 years to acclimate himself to the high altitudes, to the lack of oxygen that he would face. He prepared himself by gathering gear, gathering a team, getting himself in shape. He was completely prepared when he set out to do that in 1953. And I'm telling you, I believe the same thing. The reason Abraham could say, yes, I'm doing this thing, is because God had previously prepared him for that. Look in our text. Genesis 22, verse 1 says this. After these things, God tested Abraham. After these things. What things? God, you tested Abraham after these things. What things? I believe it was 57 years of things that Abraham has gone through. Let me give you a few of them. First of all, God gives him this voice. Nobody else is hearing from God, okay? It's not happening. But God speaks to him and says, I want you to leave the land of your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. Leave your hometown, dude, the town of Ur. You are. I think that I would leave that town too, right? It's like, you know, Norwood or something. Not hard to leave. No, I'm just kidding, Norwooders. When you guys drive all the way here from Norwood, I think you're my heroes, but I want you to leave. So Abraham leaves, right? He leaves his home village to listen to this voice that he's heard. He obeys it. Step number one in training for his Moriah moment was listening and obeying and leaving. Step number two, when he had to say goodbye to his nephew Lot, those of you that have been going through Genesis with us, we know that he had his nephew with him and they had all this stuff and they had to separate areas. And Abraham gave him the choice, remember? He said, you can go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. And Lot, being a selfish pig, like many of us maybe, says, well, I'll take the beautiful land, the green land, the land with the water flowing and near Sodom and Gomorrah. That turned out really good for Lot. But he takes it that way, and Abraham's like, good, go, man. I trust the Lord. The Lord's got me. Take the pretty land. Step number two in his Moriah moment. Step number three, if you remember from chapter 14, I think, where you see Abraham goes on this rescue mission to rescue his family, and it's really awesome. And the king of Sodom, evil, perverse guy, comes out and he offers Abraham all the spoils, right? Like, take it, man, take all this stuff. And Abraham's like, time out, no, thank you. I don't need that stuff. Test number three for his Moriah moment. Recently, we talked about the fact that Abraham had to let go of his son Ishmael, who was born to him through his servant, or the handmaiden, Hagar, remember? And he let him go. And we talked about how hard that would have been to just let his son go into the desert with his mother and with barely any provisions, but how Abraham trusted the Lord. Step number four in preparing him for the ascent up Mount Moriah. Gang, I believe that nothing in Scripture, nothing is accidental or is incidental. It all is there for a reason. And when we read the words, after these things, God tested him, it's there for a purpose. It was after something. Something happened before that that God happened. And here's the point. God will never, ever give you a test that he has not thoroughly and painstakingly prepared you for to navigate that test successfully. He'll never do it. He'll always prepare you and I. So we read stories like this, and I gotta be honest with you, I read to myself, I couldn't do that. Like, sorry, that's cool, Abraham, you are the father of the faith because you're a stud. I could never do that. And you know what? And maybe you say that and you go, yeah, I could never do that either. You're right. We could never do that. You know why? Because God hasn't prepared us for that test. Now, you got things going down in your life right now that I couldn't handle either. But I'm telling you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a believer in him, your trust is in him, he's prepared you for whatever you're dealing with. So it's hard to look at other people and say, well, I don't think I could do what she's doing, or I don't think I could do what Abraham did. We couldn't. But God has uniquely prepared them. Does that make sense? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, you all know this. It says, no temptation has come upon you except what's common to humanity, but God's faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he'll also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. How many of you have heard that scripture before? Isn't that a good one? Okay, so now maybe you look at that scripture. We'll put it up here. Maybe you look at that and you say, okay, time out, Michael. The second word is temptation. Like, I thought we were talking about God's testing. Why? I mean, this verse doesn't really apply to the subject. No temptation. Well, it's very interesting. In the original language here, the word temptation is identical to the word test. And please hear this today. We all face temptations and tests. My opinion is this. We all know my opinion's right. I just want to preface this by saying this is my opinion. I believe that temptations come from the enemy because God doesn't tempt people. And I believe that tests can come from God. So what does that mean? It means this, that the trial that you and I may be going through, Satan sees that as a temptation to shake you up, to take you out. The Bible says, Jesus said, John 10:10, I've come to bring you life. Satan came to steal, kill, destroy. Right? So the enemy can use a trial in your life to shake you up and take you out. But that very same trial the Lord can use as a test to not shake you out, but to show you off. I was reading this week, Chrysler, they make the Jeep Grand Cherokee. And when they make every year when they make a new Jeep Grand Cherokee, they will send it to, Car and Driver magazine. It used to be the magazine. Now it's probably a podcast or something. But they send it to this company, Car and Driver, and they'll send it to them. And the Car and Driver, dude, they take this thing into the mountains. They take it on the racetrack. They do all kinds of testing with it to totally take it out. You with me? Now, someone has asked them, you know, Chrysler, are you scared about this? Are you scared that Car and Driver is going to, you know, rattle and shake your car so much that it's going to fall apart and you're going to have wasted all these billions of dollars or whatever? And I love what Chrysler said. They said, no, we've already put it through the test. We don't think it's going to be shaken up. We think it's an opportunity for us to show off. It's just going to show off what we've done. Gang, the same is true for you and I. Satan comes in and he says, I am going to shake you up with the loss of your loved one or the loss of this job, or I'm going to shake you up with whatever thing. I'm going to take you out, bro. And God says at the same time, I am allowing this into your life because I want to show you, I want to show my strength, God would say, my strength in and through you to this world that desperately needs to see me. You with me? In our Discover class here at the Alpine Chapel, for years and years, even at other churches when I've taught that class, and Kelly and I always share our story. And if you've been here for 4.5 years listening, you've heard so much of my story. Today you heard how we met, you know. I try to be as transparent as I can with our life. But I will tell you that one of the things that we share is that my wife, from the age of 6 months old until she was 16, was severely sexually abused by her stepfather. He went to prison for about 5 years for that. And she was messed up. When I met her, she didn't know, you know. She thought everybody did that. And God has done a miracle in her life. Just to be honest with you. If you've ever met Kelly, you know she's the best thing going on. And amen. But here's the deal. She can't even really take the credit. It goes to Jesus, you know. And we've had people over the years say, oh, man, I could never be like you, Kelly, the way you are with your joy and stuff. You couldn't do that. I've told you a little bit of my story. You know, when I was a kid, my parents moved around a lot, and I went to a bunch of different schools. One of them was a Christian school that I got expelled from. And, yeah, it was awesome. And true story, man, it was hard. And both my parents worked at that Christian school. So when I got expelled, they got fired. Anybody ever gotten your parents fired? Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. So we had gone on choir tour, and they said, we stayed at this young couple's house, and they said that I slept with the woman at the house, which I didn't do. It was a false accusation, but I couldn't, they wouldn't even let me talk. They fired my parents, expelled me. 3 weeks later, the truth came out, and they invited us back, but it was too late. I had already enrolled in another school. So I say that story like it's no big deal. In my life, it was a big, honking, hairy mama deal. I was ticked at Christians. I thought the whole thing was a joke, okay? It's a big deal. But by the grace of God, I went on with my life and went to Bible college, and we became youth pastors. We go to take our youth pastor job, and in 10 months, they called me in and fired me. And they said, you know, you're just not doing the good job. And so Kelly and I are bawling, and they were like, we would like you to leave the church, but also leave the city because you have too much influence. So I wanted to fight. I wanted to defend myself. We didn't. We packed up the U-Haul and we left town, literally. And within 2 years, the church blew up. It was a false accusation. Every board member called us and apologized. Even the pastor later, about 10 years later, apologized to us. You guys, hurtful situation, okay? And then some of you know about Kelly. She's had 2 brain surgeries. We've gone through hell with all of that, and it's been hard. And we've met people, and we tell our story to people, and sometimes people will say, man, Michael, I couldn't do what you guys have gone through. Couldn't do it. Well, no kidding. But God prepared us. How many of you know that when I got fired from being a youth pastor, being expelled from that school years earlier prepared me for that? Does that make sense? And being fired and falsely accused and all that other stuff, when my wife got sick and everything, all of these things, I look at my life as the grace of God, who has been faithful through the name. Some people say, well, man, your life sucks. I mean, like, I don't get it, dude. Like, no, man, because through the suckiness, that's a Greek word. But through all of that, God has been faithful. And I look back and I think to myself, God has prepared me. This last week I was in Dallas and I was speaking to a group of men who've all been addicted to drugs and out of prison and things like that. And I was sharing the story of Benaiah in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 23. And there's a story where it says that he went to the pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. You guys ever heard that? But you know the verse right before that, before Benaiah, he's one of David's mighty men, before he went to the pit and killed a lion, the verse right before that says, and he went in and he killed 2 lion-like men. Isn't that a cool thing? So follow this. Benaiah, David's mighty man. We don't know much about him. He's only like in 3 verses in the Bible. He kills 2 lion-like men, bad guys, And then he goes and kills the lion. And I was talking about how the Bible says that Satan's like a roaring lion, but how God always prepares us. He prepared Benaiah to take out the lion by giving him two lion-like men first. Does that make sense? God will always prepare you for the tests and the trials in your life. Let me just say this. Kelly and I have had a lot of blessings in our life too. More than I could ever share. I'm sharing these the yucky things. But I'm going to tell you, we've been blessed out of our minds. 32 years of marriage, 40 years of serving God. We are completely blown away by God's goodness. But I can't help but look back and see how God has prepared us. Does that make sense? The answer is this, guys, to this whole idea. If God allows something into your life, you are going to be able to handle it. I promise you. If you're looking, you're going, no, you don't know my situation, pastor boy. You know, sit up there on your little stool with your tattoos and your slur. You don't know what we've gone through, right? I promise you, whatever it is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God has uniquely, painstakingly, thoroughly prepared you. Because he's a just God. And how do I know that? Because the word tells us, I just read it to you, God's faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. So what's the point? The point is simply live your life for Jesus, walk through these tests and trials, and you begin to realize that God's there. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, right? We know all these verses and they're really groovy to say in church, but it's true. He'll never leave you. Well, I felt like he left. No, dude, he never. Remember the old footprints in the sand? Isn't that a great poem? I know we've all heard it so many times and seen it on the bathroom wall. It doesn't affect us anymore. How awesome is that poem? How come you left me when I was at my worst? Jesus is like, dude, I didn't leave you. I was carrying you. That's why there's one set. He'll never leave us, guys. It's a principle of his word. And he won't give you more than you can bear. And I think, this is what I think. He's working. He's testing us. Well, why in the world is he testing us? Because he's maturing us, what we've been talking about a lot lately. And he's creating within us, you guys, I believe what Paul, the apostle, called the three greatest virtues. He's creating within us faith, hope, and love. We know the greatest of those is love. But there's something about a man or a woman who's gone through trials. And you know, D.L. Moody said it this way one time. He said, before God will use a man or a woman greatly, he allows them to be hurt deeply. And I just got to tell you, the people in my life who have had the greatest impact on my life have had messed up lives. I'm just being honest with you. I'm like, whoa, that person went through the fire. That's the person that has impact on me. You with me? So before God uses a person greatly, oftentimes he'll allow them to go through things, tests and trials. But he's creating with us those three things, faith, hope, and love. I see that he did this in Abraham, and I'm going to show you, and then we'll be done. Okay? First of all, Abraham's faith was developed when he left the city of Ur. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and he set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. I love this. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. Isn't that awesome? Like, I don't want that. Like, you show me where we're going, Lord. You light it up for me. Those of you that were here 4.5 years ago, when I came and candidated, there was 23 people here. And I preached. And I don't know if I've ever said this from the pulpit. If you were here that Sunday, raise your hand real quick. Okay, a few. So, yeah, there they are. That's all that was here. So I came in and I was preaching, and at the end, oftentimes I'll say, man, if you need prayer, come up and love to pray with you. So this guy gets up and walks down the aisle and comes up to me. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pray with this guy.
The first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, spans many, many years. It takes you from the start of it all, the story of creation, through the rise of civilizations, the flood, the calling of Abraham, and through the story of his great-grandson, Joseph. Each person you meet, each story you read, has the potential to teach you something. And that something is still true today. God is in control. He is the ruler of all, the mightiest of all. And yet, this powerful and unchanging king loves his creation deeply. He sees each person on earth and wants a relationship with them. He wants a relationship with you. Have you been wanting to know more about what that means? We have a great resource for you. Go to thealpinechapel.com and look under our menu for Something Missing. There, you should be able to get some of those questions you have answered. And we'd love to connect further, so please fill out the contact card at thealpinechapel.com as well, and we'll be in touch. We're so glad we're able to spend time with you today on Burning Hearts, the radio ministry of the Alpine Chapel. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to explore other teachings from the Bible, visit thealpinechapel.com today. While you're there, find out how you can join us in person for church this weekend. We're meeting Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. You can get directions and all the information you need at thealpinechapel.com. Be sure to join us next time for more from the book of Genesis here on Burning Hearts.